because Chuta, a few other devotees are not here. I have to go to Baltimore. So I'll see about some medical concern. Just before I start, a couple of things I just need to pass by. So while I'm gone, is this Parmeshwar here? Who's Parmeshwar? Okay. If you can clean the upstairs. And of course, that room in the back, you know, maybe on Satsaj you can clean up those areas. And do the flowers also, you know. See if you can take these trees out, or if you can just take the alcohol and cotton, you know, and do the leaves, because it's getting some kind of bugs are there. Did devotees get these summary reports, copies of the latest summary report? Did you make copies of that? Right. Downstairs mean you put them on the table?
Yes, Guru. I have an extra copy. What I can do is put the names of the words.
Well, let's just see. Who saw the last summary report? Okay. These bodies have read it? You've read it? Okay. So, normally it comes to Jagannath. Jagannath, where is it? Did it come to your house?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, usually you would make copies. But I brought it, I think, a few days before you came. So, if you can see that. Copies are made, so the devotees didn't get it, able to. Yeah, see, the summary reports, we reiterate, it's not just a matter of just a report, but the reports are talking about preaching strategy. It's giving you awareness of various interactions in terms of preaching fields. It's keeping devotees, you know, rather united with things that are going on around the world in terms of your own immediate spiritual family. And so these are things we should be... And most important is also sharing the mood of things that I'm stressing at different times. So, you know, if for everyone to be accountable, there's a need for everyone to be clear in, you know, what's expected. Chintamani, if you don't mind, you can come in. Let's see. What's Sadachar? Sadachar? Yeah. What's happening with the greenhouse?
Mm-hmm. Being built. Okay. I spread out most of it yesterday. It has to be raised about a foot. And okay. Today, we'll check that the height of the pad again. The height is right below the frame.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, I can't drink anything. You know that. You give tomorrow's. So, this week is the week you can be working on that, or what's that?
Yeah, I've been working on it. Started working on it again yesterday when we got the top soil delivered.
Okay.
Two truckloads came in yesterday.
Okay. Jagannath, what's happening with the tape summaries?
We're gradually, you know, getting them done.
Who's helping you on that?
Pardon?
Who's helping you on the tape summaries?
Mainly myself and Garuda and Mangalarti and Dana. With some other devotees also.
Okay, just keep working steady on that, because we're ahead on these things. We're trying to bring a few things to a closure. We just got a call yesterday that the editing is finished on the Love, Transforming Lust to Love book. So we're going to try in the next couple of weeks, to have that printed and get the leadership, second printing of the leadership book. Sure.
Are you going to put in the capsule when Dr. Luke won't tell you?
We're trying. If legally we can do it. We're trying to use the title. Of course, it's Spiritual Warrior Number 2. And the book, the title of the book is Transforming Lust into Love. And the subtitle, we're considering Everything That Dr. Roof Didn't Tell You. But we have to find out if we can legally get away with it. Because her, you know, because she's the famous, you know, sexologist. And we're trying to use her name, of course, for a chance to, you know, get greater audience. But a lot of the book does look at what you might call spiritual sexuality. Or it looks, you know, it looks at male-female consideration, looks at celibacy, it looks at what is lust versus what is love, looks at sex in the leadership crisis in terms of the difficulties that come from not controlling sex energies, and also the benefits. And then it kind of ends in talking about Ras Tattva, but in a way that it's not an overload on someone who's reading for the first time, or what's a Hadya presentation for devotees who are aware of such, but intimate presentation, and showing how there is something we give a contrast in the last chapter from contrast between sex life versus spiritual union. And we talk an extensive amount about the conception of union based on spirituality, which has nothing to do with the sex act per se necessarily. This is discussing about the nature of the soul and its ultimate connection that is always in exchanges and in union with the Supreme Lord in terms of service, in terms of different rasas, etc. Last question here before we jump into the short things we have to discuss today. Who has been reading 1 hour a day? Put your hand up high. Okay, so only about three or four. So last meeting we stressed that all devotees should make it a part of their life to read 1 hour a day. So next meeting we have, I'd like to see everybody's hand, go up. Because Prabhupada explained, if we don't understand these books, if we don't understand the philosophy, we'll fall down. Actually, he even once made a statement that if we don't read all of his books, we will fall down. Because it's not that you just go on mechanically in devotional service. It's not that your chanting has enough potency to give you sufficient realization without you realizing why it's important to chant. If you're chanting and you're not having a deep appreciation of chanting, then you won't be able to have much realization or potency to move through so much different types of maya, which is what most of this discussion is about. Okay, just two other things. Any time that I call for a disciple meeting, anyone in the community is invited to come. Now I can put a note on the board. Anyone can come, but they should understand that it is a guru-disciple mood. In other words, it's a mood of reciprocity based on people being ready to receive intense instructions and hopefully in a mood ready to accept. As a GBC here, I have a duty to instruct everyone. But those who are my disciples, I have not only duty but a tax to see that it's carried through to the T as much as possible. Otherwise, the contract becomes a joke. So there are things I definitely demand more from the disciples than I do from the community in general. So if anyone wants to come to disciple meeting, I am even more than happy. But they should understand they're coming into a disciple meeting and what they hear, because when you hear also, there is a tax to respond to what you hear. There's actually a consequence. Hearing is not just a free thing. It says now we are devotees, the more we're hearing philosophy, understanding what is proper, then if we do not follow, then there is it's a sin. It's a heavy sin. It's a sin for somebody being a sinner, but it's a greater sin to be in the know and to sin. And so in many discussions that I'm more direct about revealing things, explaining things, requesting things, so therefore there's also more of a reason, or there's a it puts one in a position where they should respond more to that. If not, then there's a penalty, in that sense. This is the nature of spiritual paradigm. Sometimes people think that spiritual life is something you can just go and enjoy and hear, but no, you've heard. Somebody comes into a meeting and they're hearing that you are not supposed to, eat meat, fish or eggs, take intoxication. And so now they've come in. They may have just thought they were just coming into a discussion on yoga, but they've come in, they've heard that. Now if they go back out and eat flesh, it's even more of a sin than before they came in. So I'll put a note, we can put a note on the board that Bhakti said any of the disciples' meetings he has, anybody is welcome to come, but they should understand it is in a disciple-guru mood, and he is speaking in an authoritative sense. Now also, when you have your disciple meetings amongst yourselves, also, that Anyone should be able to come who wants to come. In other words, opposition is that anything that we say or do, we're ready to say or do in any situation, any environment, and be accountable for it. Prabhupada preached in different moods, but he never changed the essence of what he was doing. It's not that what we say or do should be that we say in one environment, we do in another environment, we say this, we say that. Then what is the community? What is love? And what is, you know, maintaining, you know, the siddhanta? That we should be able to speak and live the philosophy in any environment, and to do it in a palatable way so it doesn't push somebody's buttons. Not that we just speak something without considering the field of activities, but we should be consistent. Now, on that note, also, when anybody comes into the community, we should lovingly demand that they are community conscious. It's like this wedding that they're going to have. Somebody wants to come and have a wedding, the wedding should be open for the community. Otherwise, don't come here with something that's sectarian. Or don't come here with something that's limit. We want things to be so that it is a matter that it is of Gita Nagari consciousness. We want to make the consciousness the way Prabhupada wanted. Somebody wants to bring in something different, no problem. Do it somewhere else. We want to be completely accountable. Whether it's seminars, whether it's workshops, whatever. When somebody comes to Gita Nagari, they should have three things clear in their mind. That Gita Nagari is in a struggling position trying to bring in simplicity. That Gita Nagari is a distinct community. That Gita Nagari is for people who have loving relationships and they work hard and they're trying to apply and live the philosophy. And that when you come into that environment, you experience that. If you're not comfortable with that, then get as far away from that as you can. And we'll be okay. But anytime you want to add to that, you want to share something, you want to be a part of that, then do. So that people know, in America and other parts, that Gita Nagari is a place where devotees are serious about a sense of spiritual community, and they're serious about trying to work on Prabhupada's half of what he wanted to accomplish. And we don't apologize for that. See, when you take a spiritual master, you are to take the mood, you join your team. So you take the mood of the guru. And so therefore, you're to be humble and to be submissive but bold in living the philosophy and sharing the philosophy. And therefore, we're asking all of you to read more, to study more, so that you know the philosophy, so that you know how to live it and you know how to share it. Srila Prabhupada was very, very caring. He was very motherly, fatherly, and he was very bold. If you look at the devotees in our line, you'll see that they are full of humility, full of compassion, but they are bold because they have strong faith and they have strong commitment. And they are not thinking that they're doing things themselves. So they are bold because they want to see the spiritual connection exist, and they want to be used for the spiritual connection. So, you know, it just Krishna's arrangement. When you gave me the letter, I just happened to see that letter that was written from that girl, Christine. And she was mentioning that she wants to have her wedding here, but she doesn't want to invite the whole community. Well, it should be a message that this is a community. If you do things, it should be community. Otherwise, if you're going to do it somewhere else, that's okay. You know, just like some time back when Dana Maharaj had his Vyasa Puja, and I wanted all of you to honor it. If somebody has Vyasa Puja, it's not that you're just trying to serve your guru. We want you to serve Vaishnavas. And when somebody else comes, we want that also to be part. Otherwise, don't come into the environment. We want to create a very powerful force field. So if you want to come to Gita Nagari to do something, we are happy about it. But if you want to come, you want to not invite, the community, then why come into a community? Then go to a hall or someplace. Don't come into a community. People should realize that this is a community. And that's one of the reasons we're calling, the meeting. Because amongst yourselves, you're not sufficiently a community. Sometimes you're complaining about other devotees, but you got to look at yourself first, then you look at your own immediate family in terms of the God sisters, and then you extend yourself. Always point at ourselves first. Whenever there's a weakness, incoherence, problem, you look at yourself first and see what you can do or what you haven't been doing to be able to make it a better environment. We don't want to come to Krishna consciousness to be bored, to be suffering, to be depressed, and to be uncertain from day to day what we're going to do, where we're going to go, or how we're going to do it. All that stuff is Maya. See, we're not sentimentalists. You see, being humble and being kind is not being a sentimentalist. We have to care about others to the point that we want to serve them, and therefore we want to try to associate in a way that's going to bring about the highest bhakti for ourselves and for the environment. Like in this case, so higher bhakti is not to come into an environment and hold something, have devotees eating the one prasad, have others eating another prasad, have one line here and one situation with the wedding situation. No, that we want, if somebody comes and we want to honor what they're doing. It's like when we have the samskaras. We want everyone. It's not that we say, okay, this is a wedding, and therefore we at the brahmacharis and sannyasis, we run away. Now we want you to be strong householders, to be accountable, and we want to be there as we announce it, to give blessings, to encourage, and to remind you that this is supposedly a connection so that you're doing it as a spiritual offering. That is to help you to increase your devotion. Husband and wife coming together for protecting each other so that they can remind each other about being sadhus. So we're not timid about this. If somebody has felt uncomfortable with that, then don't come into the environment. Then find another place. It should be understood that, look, this is a place where serious devotion is going on. We want to invite as many people as possible. We want to have conferences, workshops. We want to have devotees coming from all over the East Coast and maybe later from parts of the West Coast. But if somebody's coming here to take drugs, somebody's coming to abuse children, somebody's coming to mess with somebody else's wife, somebody's coming to mess with somebody else's husband, a message should be so loud to them that you shouldn't even think about that in this environment. And when somebody does, then the situation should be addressed immediately. Otherwise, you don't have a community. You just have some kind of village where every man, every person, every family is for themselves, and things go on. And at the end of the day, everybody's wondering why they even joined this Hare Krishna movement. If somebody's sick, somebody's having a problem, then the person should be burdened by so many devotees offering to help. Now that somebody's sick, and then we find out 2 weeks later that the individual was sick, and we're just kind of concerned, why they didn't do this service. But it should be such that the person becomes overtaxed by the fact that so many devotees are trying to see, how can I clean for you? How can I help you? What can I do? Can I do this? Can I do that? That is a sense of community. We're past the point now of talking community. We have to live community now. We've been a year and a half talking about community. Workshops, discussions, istagosis. We have to be beyond talking now in anything. When we come together for talking, we should be talking about formulating about action. Every single area of what we do, your men's, women, your women's, the mother's meetings, the men's meetings, the istagosis, it should all be discussing things so we have a greater sense of clarity, and then we act. Otherwise, it just becomes a kind of a social thing where we're just having a lot of talk, and after a while, you get frustrated. After a while, what happened is nobody wants to come to the meetings because it's just another talking thing. But if we're working without developing some clarity and consciousness, then we'll also be fried. Because then it'll be as if we're just workaholics. And then where's the bhakti? There's a couple of things we've been looking at the last, two or three days. Some of you have heard that this Princess Diana, she just, she left her body. So here she's one of the most popular women in the whole world, still somewhat young, and now life is gone. Young girls dream to be able to live a life like such a person, where she's a princess, and she's a part of, royalty, and she's wearing the most expensive clothes and eating the most expensive places, and people are just in awe just to see her, just to touch her garment, etc. And, and the most unfortunate person, she gets in a car wreck and she's gone, So we can look and see that the highest levels of material heights don't mean very much because they can change overnight. It's heard of some of the boys in the shelter. So they're driving, they go off a cliff. And so many of them, back broke, neck broke, leg broke, kidney disturb. I mean, so many things. And so they're getting lots of realizations that need to, I was just talking with Bhakti Will last night, a lot of realizations that need to be more focused and to take life a lot more serious. Need to be more serious about chanting other things. About the will, they're not sure what they're going to use his hand anymore, his right hand. It's the hand he's chanting japa in. He's thinking, so how much he minimized, you know, these things when it was easy to do. So yesterday I was talking with Chintamani and Jagannath about their brother. And it's emphasized how we all have to be in the mind of set of thinking. So now we got these bodies, but this can change any day. Sickness can come upon us, old age, death, so many things. So many things we're able to do right now with little ease. It's not going to be so long we're not going to be able to do that. Whether it's through sickness or whether it's through old age or other types of limitations. You know, now, you know, most of you, you know, some of you are young and you're just having the idea of thinking it's always going to be like that. It's not. I mean, right now I'm going through so much trying to see how to, you know, slow off my rapidly deteriorating health. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to see this doctor, this technique, that technique. And I'm realizing, look, I don't have the energy. I my digestion is bad. I'm you know, spending so much time just wasting in and out of the restroom. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But, you know, some short time ago, the body was strong. Huh? Because overnight, things can change so fast. And we have to be sure that we are using, when we do have these the facility, that we're using it for the most effectiveness. And we don't, we're still finding a way, but we have to go on based on what the situation is. Otherwise, we take so many things for granted. We complain about so many things that are not always so important. Or we hide and do not bring up things that need to be brought up because we're just being improper in so many ways. And then the last few days, I was just writing the foreword to Srinandananda's Bhavishya Purana, to his book, Vedic Prophecy. And I was very happy about the things he's putting in from the Bhavishya Purana. And it just completely supports, but gives more authoritative evaluation of so many things that people are constantly saying. Whether it's the economists or the geologists, whether it's the psychics, they're discussing that we're about to go into amazing changes on the entire planet. We're about to go into a fall of civilization. Where the political, the economic situation falls apart, earth changes happen, and what we normally call civilization is not so much upon us anymore. Some of you had a chance to see that video. Mara was looking at the video also the other day on transformation of America. And also, and some of you had the book some time back. It also shows just the level that so much nonsense is going on, so much heavy demonic stuff is going on the highest circles and the highest levels, and how much people are just slaves and just in prison and just unaware of how they're being abused, they're being exploited, you know, being manipulated. And that stuff is getting worse. It's not getting better. So it should help us to see really the necessity of being spiritual, of being able to create our own environments, and being able to somehow to make those environments strong and supportive. Because it ain't a whole lot out there that's really going to be for you. Pensions are falling apart. Insurance is falling apart. Even health, the whole health. The biggest scam has been going on last month. They find some of the biggest health concerns have become simply a business. And they're just cheating people all over the place. That when you're going to hospitals, you go places, you don't know what you're being subjected to these days. Because so much is based on whatever the money is. And of course, you're dealing with individuals who themselves are blown out, fried out, and sometimes even drunk. And these doctors are even drunk doing operations. Or they're just coming, rushing in from a golf game, and they want to rush back to it. I mean, it's very dangerous to have to depend on people. And therefore, we should be able to depend on our devotees, depend on Vaishnavas. It doesn't matter whether it's a lawyer, whether it's a doctor, or whatever you deal with now, because people themselves are so blown out. Because everybody's into survivalist consciousness already. Therefore, when you start depending on situations, you don't know what you are actually up to, what the outcome will be. So what I wanted to do today is that, as I keep saying, that we're going through different phases, with the project. And we want to constantly be on time in those phases. So now we see we're trying to get the greenhouse so we can be a little more able to grow food all around. And now we've had this Varnashram Dharma conference where we're all thinking more about these areas and concerns. And now we are getting going steady nights, weekend, and being able to, you know, to work on the temple. The body's getting a little more clarity about services. So a lot of things are coming on, going on, you know, more and more visitors. Like the other day when the Bodhisattva Potomac came down, and so they've expressed, Bali, they've expressed how they want to be coming on a regular basis and have some of their own communication programs here, be a part of the workshops and things that we have, conferences, and also to bring busloads of people to come from time to time. So all of these things are you know, just budding and in the very embryo kind of form, the natural health cure program. All of these things are showing us various possibilities. But we have to get more focused. And that's where there's a huge lacking. There's a big lacking in the general community of being focused and concerned about that, but even more concerned about you, who should be more accountable, because if you're more focused, then actually the community will gradually become more of a community. Like I'm saying about this wedding thing. So as we are more distinctly a community, then people will also, when they come in contact with us, then they will pick up that mood, or they will appreciate that that's what we're about, and then they won't have so much interest in coming so close, and we don't mind that. The idea is we want to keep very consolidated devotional scheme of activities. And you're going to see in the future why that's going to be so important. It's going to be much more important in the future than it is now, because everything that happens to anybody, any place, is going to be so much based on the consciousness of that environment. I mean, just keep in mind, there's no accidents that every time you turn around now, there is some strange type of things happening in newspapers, some strange movies about extraterrestrials. Every time you turn around, there's another expose about some economic problem. I mean, all of these things are adding up every day. There's some earthquake, some drought or some flood someplace. That's why people are going to realize, hey, this stuff is happening all over. And there's hundreds of thousands, later millions of people, you know, losing their lives. So we have a little bit of luxury now in terms of we have a little time to move fast about whatever we have to do physically and, most important, psycho-spiritually. And these things are very important. So my concern is the lack of focus, because too many of you are not being able to communicate sufficiently, you know, amongst yourself. The cues that's being missed, you know, and that's affecting the services. And there's too much also sometimes indecisiveness about, you know, what are you doing? And that should be clear. And then a few of you are still going through the withdrawal symptoms of coming out from the cities. There's a big withdrawal that goes on. When you come out and from the city and you come here, you get exposed. You start having to look at yourself. And you realize how much you want sense gratification. You miss the mundane sounds. You miss the mundane, you know, bulletin boards. You miss the mundaneness of just being able to do whatever you want when you want, and then jump into service, and then the rest of the days you do whatever you want, and then you jump into service. And so it's a chance for purification. Practically everybody has went through that. 98% of you have gone through that when you first come here. It's like a shock, because you entered into a whole another time and space span. You know, we don't realize how much we are addicted to being so much mundane, at least being in mundane environments. And then we come here, and there's just grass and cows and the programs, and then you go back to your place, and you come again for service. So you're really being able to gradually pick up Vrindavan mood. We see how much rascals we are because we don't like that. When you think about it, what is it that we don't like? I was talking to one or two devotees thinking, so what do you want to do? You want to go back home to the urban community and get a house or get a room or something, and go every now and then maybe to a program, stay most of the time watching television, hanging out, sleeping as long as you want, or maybe not going to Temple Hari at all. There's nothing wonderful about that. What's wonderful about that? You want to go get a karmic job and get away from the devotees altogether, and then do what? And just, you know, pay rent and have a little money to eat some food? Well, what? I mean, what's the big deal about that? We want to make it real gross. So what do you want to do? Lead devotion. You want to go smoke cigarettes. You want to go take drugs. You want to go take, you want to go have illicit affairs. You want to go eat meat. No, you won't do those things. So then, what is it out there? That's so compelling that we have to go to. You think about it. It means we're running away from Krishna. Here we have a spiritual family. So what do we want to do? We want to run to our material friends. We want to run to another place, another area. For what? You know, almost every one of you, there's no sin that you haven't done in terms of breaking principles. Like everybody in here has been breaking principles for most of their lives. So there's nothing so exciting, so new, that now you're going to... Parameshwar? Where are you going? Oh, okay. You have the tape. You have the tape there. So there's nothing like that's so new that we will have to try it to see if this is going to satisfy us. Because what, you know? You just go away now and you just, you know, immerse yourself in drugs. Okay. You've had drugs before. Nothing so wonderful. Do you want to go and find prostitution, or you just want to go hang loose and go to discos and go this place, that place? I mean, you know, you burn out after a short time. Then you feel really depressed, because then you'll feel completely not satisfied there, not satisfied with the devotees. Then you'll be hiding from the devotees because you won't feel good about seeing the devotees. So we have to kind of look closer at ourselves and realize, what do we want? Do we actually want to be spiritualists? Or do we want to spend, we want to be atheists? Or do we just want to be, you know, church people? And so, you know, we take up some religion and we go to church once a week or something and do whatever we want to do the rest of the time. Or are we wanting to be a part of an environment that's about a spiritual culture? So that means that we're having to do things differently, you know, based on that spiritual culture. So what I would like to do in this little time we have left is I want to go around the room and I want devotees to express where they see their obstacles, because there's too much lack of focus and there's stagnation. So it's important as a community that we are able to understand each other's obstacles. We can try to help each other. And it's important individually you understand where your obstacles are so that you can try to work on those things. So we want to go around the room as you address what are the things that you feel are obstacles for you that's causing you not to be happy in devotional service, or what's causing you not to be more fixed, or what's causing you some problems as you're trying to execute your devotional service. And this way, so you can think yourself such things and try to get a better idea of maybe areas that you can work on. And so also that as a family we can hear it and then be more sensitive and try to see how we can help each other, or seeing in some ways how we may be interfering with someone. Some of the obstacles may be that certain person may be causing not to be able to do their service, or they may feel that way. It may be, you know, a genuine thing of its own also. But again, community means that we have our individuality, but we are working in teamship. And the success or the achievement is based on the outcome of the team. And so the failure or the stagnation is based on the performance of the team players. It's just that simple. You see that with a group of sportsmen, you know, a group of musicians. That is not just a solo. It's based on how individual personalities do their part in coordination with the team. And then determines whether there's victory or there's failure. You can have a few people who are stagnant, a few people who are good players, but it doesn't mean so much, because at the end, the end result is going to be what collectively the team was able to produce. So Jagannath, I want to start with you. So if you can address what things you find in your devotional life as you're here present some obstacles, you know, that you may see within yourself or within the environment, or perhaps from some specific, you know, situations, so that we can look at these things a little closer and see how we can remove these obstacles. Because once obstacles are removed, then what's there? Then there's a nectar of devotion. Our natural state is experiencing that nectar, the pleasure of devotion. And the obstacles are the things that stagnate, that interfere, that block. If we move the blockage, then there's the flow. Jagannath?
First thing is that I have difficulty balancing devotional life, you know, the spiritual activities and services, with my material, you know, maintenance that sort of thing. Because I tend to neglect sometimes the material things that need to be done, that are necessary, you know. And then it impacts on the devotional life, you know. Because I take a lot of risks sometimes, and then it comes back in other ways, you know. Another thing is that concerns me is that because I work during the week, it's hard for me to do services during the week. Like if I do deity service, awake the deities, then it impacts on, you know, my energy level during the day, you know, and, you know. But then when I do weekend services, if I need to go out of town, like we've been out of town, so much happened in our lives right now, then I have to get others to cover my service, you know. And if I barter, then that puts more load during the week, you know. So it's very difficult for me to balance all these things, and I hate putting more pressure on the devotees, you know, especially during retreats and all kinds of other stuff, when I have so many material things that need to be taken care of, need to be addressed, you know. At the same time, I want to do service, you know. I want to do deity service. I want to, you know, do any service that I can. So that's a challenge for me.
So, you know, we're not so much trying to solve everyone's stuff today, but we want brought out so that individuals can also list, and if you don't have the chance now, later at some point today, write down your own stuff and start thinking now ways how you can be able to work on it. And keep in mind in general what you're hearing from others say, you know, obstacles, weaknesses, fears, etc. So like immediately, as his wife is hearing that, she should be thinking, okay, now what can I do to try to see how to create more of a balance? So here my partner is saying, so he's having trouble trying to figure out more about the material and the spiritual balance. And perhaps you feel the same way. So the concern is, both things have to be there. And both should be done in a way that enhances the other. And so some areas we may have to do what? So we may have to find that we may have to help each other go to bed a little earlier. So when we are having to do deity worship, we can be able to do that. We may have to help the other to be a little more conscious of what our bills are so that we can address that issue. So these practical kind of reflections should go on now. But it never should be that one thing is sacrificed for another, because both have to go on. The community, again, it doesn't mean that we're just in an ashram and we're just living in a renounced state. No, you have relationships, you have children, you have family, you have relationships. So those things have to be dealt with from a spiritual and a material perspective. And if one isn't dealt with healthy, it's going to affect the other. If we are not able somehow to be able to smoothly deal with certain physical concerns, then it's going to bring some obfuscation to the spiritual. At the same time, if we're not taking the spiritual as a priority, then whatever we do is just going to, you know, backfire on us. If we're ready to give up our spiritual, if we're ready to give up any type of services, we have to give up some type of austerity that's part of the community, then Krishna Maya will just keep on bringing more and more things. You know, that will distract. But the balance is a very significant thing, and there's a give and take. But the give should always be that our position is that we are spiritual beings, and that our ultimate allegiance is that we have to get spiritual nourishment, and that comes from spiritual service, and that comes from austerity, sometimes it comes from commitment, and it comes from dependence and faith on Krishna. We have faith on Krishna, and we understand that we are not fools, we're not foolish, we're not naive, because we are to understand the field of activities that we have to deal in. But ultimately, at the end of the day, there must be faith with some clarity about what the field of activities. We bring up this conception of spiritual warrior, we mean we are fighters. So fighting means that there's always the enemy assaults. There's always a Maya. It's not going to stop. It's not just going to figure out some plan, and then there's not going to be any inconvenience, not going to be any Maya, not going to be any stress. You know, on the battlefield, there's always stress. And even when the enemy is not attacking, you're alert because you're wondering now how the enemy is going to attack later, from what position, and how you're going to prepare yourself. So there's no question of thinking that everything is going to be smooth on the battlefield. But a strong warrior position themselves in such a way that they can be able to maximize their own effectiveness or give more guarantee of success based on how they position themselves. we have to position ourselves in a way that we can try to cover this. So you have a wife and you have a child, and that becomes a priority to see that their physical, psychological, and spiritual needs are taken care of. Okay.
The men's group, and that's a challenge for me now because, the last probably 6 weeks or so, we haven't had a meeting, and it's because of two things that I see. One, because I haven't been around as much, you know. Two is not clarity in how to proceed, you know, and that I think depends a lot on. Particularly Ekavir and Sadachar, since the way the men's group has been established is that 50% of it is project-oriented. The other 50% is planning the next project or any other issues, things that need to be resolved or worked out or topics. The challenges I see is that 50% requires Ekavir and Sadachar's direct input, you know, and organization. You know, I can facilitate. I see my role as just to facilitate. You know, I have a lot of other duties in my life. If I was on 24/7 on the Dom, then I could do that and organize all those details myself. But Sadachar has a lot of the resources, the machines, this, that, the other. Ekavir is in charge of maintenance and so many other things. And they are strong leaders in this community that impact, and what they do and what they don't do, their presence and their not present impacts on that group, you know. So there's been a lot of unclarity, you know, about what, you know, how to proceed if it's not strong between us about how we're going to proceed, you know. And I feel that that is a big problem because I see that group could be a big complement to some of the things we say, which we don't have a lot of manpower, you know, or devotees don't really want to, you know, help out with a lot of things. Well, here's a group, you know, where that opportunity can be manifested if there's input and connection, you know, with Sadachar and Ekavir, which are key leaders in the community. So that's another big, you know, thing on my mind. I don't know how to proceed.
I see this as one of the biggest obstacles right now. The women are having a problem, but they're struggling a little better. The men are communicating less, and that's not good because they should be, you know, leading, you know, the brigade. So somehow there's got to be a greater sense of clarity. The men's group, obviously, as we said earlier, it should not just be a rap session that we're just, you know, psychologically evaluating each other. But as Jagannath has said, he wants it to be discussion and action. But now he's finding difficulty and being able to see how to orientate the action if those who are spearheading the action are not there to give some cues about what can be done or what should be done. And so his feeling, we talked about this a day or two ago, his feeling is that now we have some of the devotees who are not so active in things who are coming around. And they come, you know, Bhubrit, Jiva Goswami, and a few others. So they're coming, you know, to the men's group. But then if the integral representation is not there from the managers to take advantage of that, to encourage them, and to find some ways how we can do various things, then there'll be a problem. See, there's some devotees who are going to be actively involved right in the temple. There's some devotees who are going to be actively involved in festivals and other types of congregational things. There's some devotees who are going to feel more inspired, many based on social and economic things of working with the community. And we have to be ready to honor that. Now, basically, we're asking all of you to try to do everything. That's not going to be the case. A big community doesn't mean that you're going to have everybody chanting 16 rounds. It means that that should be the nucleus. The serious devotees should be doing that. And if they're doing it strong enough, then you can have people on different levels who can do various things, and they will do their part and do it well, but they are not ready for full surrender, or they're not ready for mission consciousness. You may find somebody who, say maybe it's somebody like Dhruva, and them. So they should feel comfortable that they can be a part of this community and be able to do things even though they keep a distance and they're not following principles. But we should understand that these are devotees who are in something right now. They're working some things on their life, but they should feel the love from the community. They should feel the concern that what they are willing to do, that they will do it. But now, if they come to a meeting, and then those who can help to give them some idea what they can do, and not making some input, then it's a big loss. We should just think, well, why should I get involved? Because after all, I'm working, you know, 7-8 hours a day. And this person is coming around once or twice a week. I don't have time to do it. No, that's not your position. The idea is that you do your stuff well, and you try to see how you do your service in a way that's going to encourage some others to do their service, whatever that may be. So there may be some people who will just do one offering for the whole week, or one deity you're dressing for the whole week. They only want that much of blessings in the service. What can you do? This is free will. But at the same time that you do your thing well, and that by your doing it well, you encourage them, it's encouraging them to do what they can do. Otherwise, we get into the habit of thinking, well, why do I have to do deity service every day? And this person doesn't come once a week, and then they just come, you know, for Sunday program, and they don't do anything. So what? Like, I just wrote a letter last night to some of my devotees in South Africa. So I have disciples in all the different groups. But now some of the African disciples, they're saying, so last year at the yearly conference, there was discussion that South Africa should put more energy into preaching in the African and the white body Muslim community, because it's been mainly focused, within the Indian community. So then some of the devotees got a little fried, and they're saying, why the devotees not living up to their promise? And my point to them was, it's like you were saying, somebody's in the kitchen, and that person's in the kitchen working, and they're thinking, why don't all the other devotees also come into the kitchen? Why don't they appreciate what's going on in the kitchen? He says, yes, the kitchen is important because everybody has to eat. But somebody has that duty, that responsibility to be in the kitchen. And so they can't get upset, that much upset, that somebody else who's working in the garden, somebody who's doing the deity service, somebody who's doing sankirtan, that they don't have the same kind of mindset. That's your nonsense to think that everybody's got to be in the kitchen type mentality. My point to them was, then you guys, you go out and you do something based on that as your service. And then you do it in a way that you can encourage some others to do some part, but it's your duty to do that because you have the position to do that kind of area, do that sort of area. Not that you would think, well, I'm fried, I can't do anything because they promise that they're not doing this and not doing that. Or it's like, one of you saying, well, I'm fried, I'm doing duty service every day, and I see some of the other devotees, I see, some of Satsuma Maharaj's disciples, I see that, they don't have any definite service, or I see that they only do a service only, when they feel comfortable or something, or they say, well, I'm doing a service for my guru, I really can't do anything else. Well, if that's their mood, no problem. But what about your service? What about what you're doing? Then do you say, well, I'm not going to take care of the cows because no one else wants to take care of the cows? You let the cows die? You say, well, I'm not going to do the offerings. I'm not going to dress the deities because no one else. If somehow you have the opportunity to be able to do it, then take that as Krishna's blessings. I'm excited like anything that this difficult project, Prabhupada has allowed me to be able to take some responsibility for this difficult project. I'm not in any way thinking that if Ramapad, if Rabindra, if the North American chairman, if other DBC men, if they don't help me, then I'm not going to do very much. I'm not thinking that way at all. I'm thinking that it's my responsibility, and if somebody else helps, wonderful. If somebody else helps this way, that way, whatever little or whatever big they do, wonderful. But I'm not thinking that now someone else has to do this with me or has to do it and have to do this thing and that thing, and then I'll get more inspired, or then I'll do my thing, or then I'll feel okay. Not at all. My consideration is that this is Prabhupada's, Prabhupada wants this thing to happen, and therefore, if somehow I have the ability, if I'm being given some chance to try to figure out how to do this thing, then how wonderful I can do this as a service. So we have too much of that kind of mentality, looking at others, and we have too much of that mentality of not communicating sufficiently amongst ourselves. There should be no reason why this kind of signal is going on. So Jagannath is saying, so So I'm having the meeting, but somehow I'm trying to get these men together, then to go and to do something, and then I'm not getting the proper guidance about what we can do. Now, that's his view. He's saying that's where he sees an obstacle. Now, as we're going, we may find that somehow else sees an obstacle by maybe the way he's doing the meetings, maybe the way he's calling it, or maybe the way when they did come, they didn't get the kind of reciprocation that they thought. Or when they did give a plan, it didn't happen. But definitely the point is that something should be happening more effectively than not. Here we have Bluebrit, who we hardly ever see. We have Jiva, who hardly ever comes to any program. But he's coming to these things, and so therefore, he's coming to the meeting, so that may be the way he feels comfortable in association. He feels better in this kind of fraternity bonding. He may have more confidence in this right now than he does in Krishna, than he does in authority or whatever. So therefore, if he's ready to take the help that way, then we should be ready to give. Somebody feels more comfortable in taking a shot. They're sick. Somebody in taking the pill. Somebody in taking holistic medicine. Okay, the sickness is there. Now the idea is how to somehow affect that disease. We're small-minded, and we're weak in our own devotional understanding. If what others do makes us so imbalanced that then we lose our desire to do what we have to do. Because then you don't really want to do what you have to do. If somehow you can't be enthused by doing deity service because four or five other people are not so ready to do it, then you don't want to do yours. The point is that you should want to do yours, and you should try to see how you can do it in a way that it's going to encourage somebody else, or realize you do your part, and Krishna's going to send some other people to do what the other parts that have to be going on. Otherwise, Maya loves that. It's a domino effect. So you're weak in one situation, and then it just affects another thing. And after a while, you have just so many people in disarray, and everybody's keeping a distance, doing their own thing, and then you don't have a sense of community. The distinct thing we want anybody to, in 10 minutes, to walk into this environment and realize that there is a community here, that we are different, every single devotee is different, every single devotee is struggling, that there is a sense of comradeship, there's a sense of community that's creating a tremendous kind of force field of people on a mission to do something and allowing some higher intervention to take place because of their determination to, you know, to be able to do. You can explain your obstacles, Shamananda?
I guess one of my biggest obstacles, and I won't say it's so big, but we discussed it earlier this week, and by your grace, you helped me get past that, is that I had a little concern about my son, who's a devotee, and he's in New York, and I was worried his mother's not so favorable to the movement anymore, and I was kind of concerned about his consciousness and his development as a result. And as I said, by your grace, we got past that, and I'm very comfortable with that now. And I guess for me, one of my biggest obstacles also is that I know I have a lot of passion, very passionate nature, and at times I also feel hindered in my service in the respect that when I need to move and do things and get things done, sometimes the facility to do that is not there. And as a result, I'm kind of waiting or, you know, sitting on my hands, so to speak. And at the same time, not wanting to point fingers, I guess that the challenge for me is just as you just explained, is not to, in my mind, shut down or let my mind shut me down and think, well, I can't get this accomplished right now, just let me go somewhere and do something else. And, you know, when the facility does come, let me, you know, go ahead and do it. I'm also seeing that for me, not wanting to step on any toes or being careful not to step on any toes, I have to be careful of the mentality or developing the mentality that I could do it better, but trying to be in a mentality that I would like to assist as much as I can if I can get as much empowerment, so to speak, to actually help, you know, whatever's there. And that's basically it. As I said, just developing those mentalities and not letting those mentalities come upon myself. And we actually, before this meeting, we had discussed that, some of the men and myself, and we were actually planning to have a meeting also how we could sort of get ourselves stronger and, you know, be a stronger team. And I would say that, yet, as you also, you know, instruct us with in having the warrior mentality. So I was also concerned that, just as you said, if one of our, you know, fighters that are standing next to us on the line are not strong, we have to be very concerned to see that they're involved in activities also, that they can become strong. I mean, you know, because we want to know that if we get injured on the battlefield, someone can pull us off, so to speak. So I just have to say that's something that I would like to, you know, see and address and deal with as a team that we can just, as you instructed, make it more to the program to keep ourselves strong, to get ourselves strongly fixed up. And I guess also that for me, one of the biggest hindrances or something that disturbs me is that as a result of not being able to move, then when there is ability to move, sometimes when it comes late, it steps on the hearing and chanting program as you expressed that you would like to have it. For instance, like sometimes things are slow in developing as such as things we need to do, and then they eventually happen. But then as a result, after that happens, you know, what time you would have used for hearing and that 1 hour at least reading a day, it's not there. And it actually causes some disturbance. I get pretty disturbed by it. You know, knowing that I have to, you know, I'm very dependent on this to keep myself strong and fixed up also. And I really don't want to see that loss, so to speak. So that's basically it as far as I'm concerned.
It's something for all of us to constantly remind ourselves, is that when we do a service or we have a responsibility, that whatever we do is going to affect many people, and especially the leaders. This is Makuna Maharaj was here, and he was talking about the Prakash family also. We kept talking about many issues, but we kept bringing it back to the fact that there's a leadership problem. Because the leader always establishes the mood. So there's been like several concerns about Ekavir, in the sense that sometimes people are waiting to make something happen, and they're waiting for him, he doesn't show up, or they're expecting something, and he doesn't, you know, seem to understand the intensity and the importance of that. Or he has so many things to do, and he's not making it clear that this is what he has to do first. So when the leader... when one doesn't feel sufficient shelter or support from the leader, then gradually everybody's service gets a little weaker. Like if you saw that you have this issue, that issue, somehow I just seem to ignore it, or I seem to put it off, after a while you'll find yourself getting weaker and weaker and less determined, and you'll feel less focused because you'll be thinking, well, if it's not important to him, it's not important to me. Or you'll feel it's like with a group of sportsmen. If the coach doesn't somehow manage to keep aware of everybody's thing somewhat and keep a goal in mind that he's telling everybody to, then the players will get splayed out. And then it becomes very difficult to manage because then everybody's splayed out. And then what happens is that people just start doing things by whim. And then the whole team will gradually have personality problems, fall apart, because there'll be failures. So we have to take this leadership thing a lot more, be a lot more aware of what it entails. And one part is that we had to kind of check in and kind of hear a little bit more from those who we're trying to coordinate. Or like in Sadhachaya's case, sometimes the devotees are feeling that you work very hard, but then you have to also be able to connect with those you're working with, remind them, and to get them to do certain things and to see that it follows through. Otherwise, you just engage them if they work, or if they're or consider that they're going to do something they don't, then there's a lacking. But the leader's duty is to lead. And lead means that you have to do so much stuff, but you also have to be leading or bringing others awareness of what also has to be done. You know, a leader is not just somebody who just goes ahead, you know. Or a leader is not somebody who just does everything themselves. But they lead. They take the charge. They go in front, and while they're bringing others, you don't leave others behind. You don't ignore somebody because they seem a little dull, they seem a little tired. No, you have to lead. Means that you have to be doing what you have to do, and you have to see that you are carrying people also so that more work is done. Otherwise, what happens is that the person goes ahead, and they get so blown out because they feel nobody else is doing nothing, and then they'll just get so depressed. But they don't realize that it's them also, that they also have to do what they have to do, but they have to see the others. And you may feel, but then if I do that, then I'm not going to get this thing done, that thing done, because this person is too dead weight, is that too dead weight. Sometimes that is an extreme case, where you have a person who really doesn't want to work, and if you try to keep dealing with them, that you can't get anything done. When it gets that extreme, then therefore it should be put to high authority. But in most cases, it's a matter of how we're able to encourage and to enthuse and to appreciate someone's position where they are at, and to see how to lovingly to encourage them. If we just impose on somebody, let's back away. If we ask somebody to do something that's out of their reign because they're sick, because they're weak, because they have this problem, because they don't have that propensity, then it'll just be imposing. But we can understand where they are and then try to encourage them, then we can see that we have so many more devotees doing things and feeling enthused about what they're actually doing. But when you have devotees waiting to do something and you disappear, or you're supposed to do something and you're supposed to check in with them, they're supposed to check in with you, and there's no strong line of communication, there's a war. There's a war going on. You're trying to figure out where you should go next, what you should do. And then your captain is sending a signal that's not clear. Now you're supposed to be strong about fighting. You're trying to be out there fighting, do what you have to do, and then the captain, you're not so sure whether he wants you to do this thing, that thing, whether he's going to come and assist you on this, whether he's going to bring you the ammunition, what he's going to do. Then you feel, what the hell am I doing? You get very discouraged. A little thing to the captain, may sound like a little thing to the captain, but to those who are waiting to receive that, it's very serious. So when people are depending on you, what may appear to be a small thing to the person who is distributing or giving or in charge is a big thing when you're dependent upon it. You know, just take your children, for instance. Some of you have children, or will have children. So what may seem like a little thing to you is a very big thing to the little child, because the child's existence is seemingly dependent on that reciprocation. So it becomes a bigger thing. Somebody's service is dependent upon the reciprocation. So you may think, and that's why I get on my secretaries all the time. Sometimes they lose somebody's letter, they forget to tell me somebody called, and I tell them this is hellish. You may think, well, you gave me 20 other information and you missed one or two, or that that person called six times and maybe two of the times you reported. You may think it's what the big deal. But for that individual, it's important to them, and therefore it becomes important. Because for them, that they're dependent on Guru, and whatever connection is there is very important. And so we get very disturbed when we see that somebody takes it for lightly, because we realize that for the individual who is on the receiving side, that each situation is very, very important, even though it may be a minute thing. Like last night, I stayed up to almost to 12 o'clock. And part of that, I had some email come in. I wanted to have it answered by the time after Mangal Arati, so I could give it to Mangal Arati. And I realized, in a few of the places, I just maybe made three or four short answers. But I realized that for that devotee, that was important for the devotee to have some expedient communication, so that they could be able to go on with their service and feel enthused is what they have to do. If not, then even though it's just a little thing, but it makes an effect, because that person is waiting for some instruction, waiting for some guidance, waiting for some, some clarity. I can just say, well, I'm just blown out. I mean, I'm still, starting with a little bit of the flu. I got to go now to the tooth thing, and I have this meeting. So I could have been thinking, well, it's just impractical. In one sense, yes. But in another sense, the priority was that here, these people are in critical positions, going to do some things that's very significant in the preaching, and they need some input. And so therefore, I had to inconvenience myself to try to do that. Now, there's certain things that are just a burden that comes along with leadership, and leader has to expect that. And as you begin to do that, then you begin to get reciprocation, because then you begin to see how lovingly you are kind of assisting people, and you get loving response back that gives you energy in that way. But if we just take it as a burden, I got this thing to do, and they don't understand, I got that to do, why they bother me. No, it's important for that person. See, everyone's problem, everyone is thinking their problem is the number one, is most important, because it is most important for them. Somehow the leader has to make everybody feel that also your concern is most important, why having other person to be dealt with in that same way. Somebody, just has a problem with their car. Somebody needs the machine fixed. For that person, that is most important. And for the leader, got to send a signal that this is also most important for me, to see that this is done for you. And it's not that difficult. It's just a matter of really realizing how every single person is working for Lord Chaitanya, has somehow been blessed by Lord Chaitanya to be a part of the process, and to realize that the more you can enthuse people and help them what they're doing, then the stronger the war effort is going to be in attacking Maya, for the individual as well as as well as for the community. Otherwise, we'll put one thing on hold and we'll almost forget about it, and we'll do another thing, and then we'll get so much kind of splayed out, we'll think, let me just chill out and just get away from all of this, and just disappear for a few hours or so. Sometimes the body has that tendency that when things get a little too cumbersome, top heavy, and they just kind of disappear. And then you got three or four people waiting to get some response. It doesn't go away. Like the person who has a problem, then they take some alcohol. It doesn't go away. It's not going to solve anything. It just later make that same problem worse because it, you know, because it hasn't been addressed. See, nobody has any service that's too difficult for them. We're practically all doing things that we're not so familiar with, including your guru, you know. Been in urban environments, you know, as much as this body's been in existence, and now we're in an environment where we're trying to do something that's quite different. But we may make some mistakes, but we should not make the same mistakes again and again. So we're learning now about how to take care of the cows, learning about how to get up the hay. We're learning a little better now about some things to do with the garden and some things not to do. Learn a little bit more about how to take better care of the machines. So we should be gradually learning to the point that after a while we become so much expert in some of these areas. But not by denial or not by thinking somebody else is supposed to make it happen. But we have to have that initiative where we see we're weak, then we have to go in and try to see how to understand how to do something. Okay, Ekavir?
Yes, one of the obstacles that I have is basically managing my time and actually getting a lot of things done and by not having the proper time management and not communicating to the devotees, that creates some difficulties. And, you know, Shamananda is explaining some obstacle that he's having, and I can see it's directly related to that. So time management. Another thing is not being so expert in different areas and kind of engaging devotees in different services that they might not be so expert either, and dealing with, I guess, the different energies and the mentalities of devotees, and trying to see how somehow we can get the services done and everybody at least, you know, has some service, has some input, you know. Sometimes sometimes it's quite difficult to hear from devotees that are not directly engaged in the projects but yet may have a better understanding of what's going on, or maybe addressing a point, making a point that is actually a valid point. Sometimes I'm kind of criticized of listening to too many devotees. But I feel I have a duty to actually listen and not necessarily accept or act upon that, but to actually listen, because there may be some valid concern. There may be something that we can actually use to help us to improve in the services. And there may be some things that we just have to put aside, but I have to at least listen and then somehow try to engage everybody. And it's a challenge. It's a challenge for me. I'm not really good in communication.
This is a very important point. This is a very, very important point that just like sometimes in the secular situation, a person has a chance to be a teacher, or usually a student, and they're a teacher. They realize, hey, this is damn hard. They begin to see, you know, what it's like, you know, when you got people joking and laughing and people throwing and people sleeping, and, you know, you realize it's not quite as easy as you think. So often, we may think that the leadership role is a lot easier than what it seems. So on one side, I'm saying leader, of course, has to try to be aware. And leader's got to take everybody's thing as important. But now, there's also the need for those, for us to realize that in a situation where the leader himself is not expert, because it's not that you know, those of you leading have done this kind of thing before either. So you have so much more clarity than anybody else, gradually learning something. And then when your leader is supposed to hear, you know, and by hearing, supposed to take it in serious in the sense that whatever somebody's expressing, that's a part of the community. And that has some reality, even if it's not an ultimate reality, it has some reality. Just like I was very curious about when people come here to visit, I'm very curious about, you know, what impressions they may have. Mukunda Maharaj, when he left, he called me that same night. And he had a meeting with his devotees, which is very nice. So he brought these devotees here, they had a meeting. And he asked the devotees, what was their experiences? What did you feel about the place? And then he had written down what the devotees' experiences were. And so I was eager to hear whether they were favorable or unfavorable. I was eager to hear because it was reality based on what they heard that told us something about how we're appearing or how we served them when they came. So, of course, they were all favorable, but I was still interested in the areas that they, you know, see addressed. Because the idea is now how to try to serve better or to look at where some faults were, to know, to look closer at what I could have done, what we could have done, instead of doing something else. Now, that becomes frustrating when a leader is trying to do that, and at the same time, if the person is feeling that there are times when one is ready to act and there's no clarity, then in doing that, it will frustrate things. So the issue is not so much listening to people, because that should be there, but it's a matter of the devotees feeling that they're sufficiently backed up, that what they need is made available, that what they have to do is clear, and then there won't be that anxiety that one is maybe reflecting too much without acting, and then thinking that, well, that's because he's talking to too many people, hearing from too many people. See, you know, we do have times when you have two or three different devotees who swear they know what to do about the same kind of problem. Nobody knows anything, but they're just speculating. And we're waiting for the day when that doesn't happen, when you're all so skilled in working in the rural community. And unfortunately, a lot of that skill comes from, you know, from learning from mistakes. But we can't afford so many mistakes, and that's the difficulty. I was explaining to Bhakti Will, Chintamani's brother, that Thomas Edison, before he was able to produce the light bulb, he failed 1,000 times. But each time there was a failure, he knew better what not to do. He had an idea of what was possible. And so often failure is also, you know, it's an avenue to success. And because we're dealing with cows, we're dealing with lies, and we're dealing with a lot of situations where some people are watching to think, well, these guys don't know what the hell they're doing. So it makes it more difficult also. But if we are being attentive, and we're being aware of each other's field of activities, then it'll be less of their problem. Now, in terms of time management, if you know you're weak on that, since you're all going over different things, you should be thinking yourselves, how are you going to do to improve on those areas? Others should be thinking, what can I do to help? So in time management, then sometimes when devotees have an issue, then they should also bring up to you how they felt it could have been dealt with better. And that should be a constant thing, as I've reiterated several times. Never criticize anybody or situation without bringing up, offering some assistance of how to improve or what could be done or offering yourself to be able to help in some way. So this can help us, because many times we have some areas we're weak and we don't know, we're not sensitive to that weakness. But if somebody's able to show us, here that stuff goes again, then you're able to realize, I do this thing under this circumstance. And then later you're able, you know, to be able to work on that, you know. And there's like four or five people who have certain things that may go on, they're not so aware of. But then if they can be brought out to them, this is another incidence of this sort of thing. And not just in an imposing way, but in a way that's helpful. And then the person can begin to see, so under these circumstances, I do this, so I have to be careful when this thing is coming up so that I don't act in an improper way. Under some circumstances more than others, then you lose it when it comes to time. Or you somehow space out, and things are going on, but they're not quite connecting. So then, if the one of the devotees are experiencing that, then they should bring it up, so that you can be a little clear when that's happening. Or the leader should be hearing that, and she should be thinking also, so So now let me try to see how to assist in helping Ekavir with his time. Or let me see how I can keep my ear a little open more and see where the boy is having some difficulty and try to help them to see where some lack of understanding may be on their part, but also to help my husband to see where there's a need for him to be more sensitive. Community constantly means that we're doing what we have to do, and we're looking at the effects of it on others, and we're trying to see how everybody's standard consciousness is going to benefit from whatever's going on. Is there anything else?
We talked about time management. Not really having the confidence. Still not so confident in doing the service and sadhana.
Mm-hmm. So we put that platform, put on the major platform is strengthening our sadhana. So even though we may not have the confidence, that we have the faith that Krishna is able to fulfill his promise. As he says, yoga shamam vahamyam, that he will maintain what we have and carry what we lack. I don't have the confidence. I have the confidence for 90% of the things that I do. I have the confidence for writing books, but somehow, because I want to do, Krishna is sending people to help. I don't have the confidence for working in some of these countries I'm working in, but because I want to do it, and I know it's needed, then Krishna arranges. I don't have the confidence in so many things. I have the confidence in I have the confidence in some of you, but at the same time, I know... At the same time, I know that Krishna is in your heart. And therefore, things will happen in spite of ourselves. And that's the adventure. That's the excitement of devotional service. If we could completely, control every single aspect, if we had all the abilities to do everything, we'd be bored. Huh? There'd be any challenge. There'd be any adventure. There'd be no adventure to the process. But the excitement is how some of you come, and in 2 years' time, you're doing full-time deity service, you're taking care of the cows. I mean, just a little while ago, Bali didn't even know how a cow looked. And now he's talking the cow language, They got some strange language going on out there, I mean, Ekavir and Sadachari were, in their suits, working on computers, working in accounting, and, working as they liked. But now it's a different situation, that if you're not there, then the results. See, that's one of the things that's powerful about the simple life, is that when you don't do the necessary, it shows. So you can hire so much, even these mature jobs. You can do something, you can do it the next day, next week. If you don't get the hay in the right time, it's going to be suffering. If you don't plant the crops in the right time, you can't decide, okay, now I'm just going to work 3 days straight and I'll get it all done. And you missed 3 months ago, you should have planted. No, if you don't do some things properly, then you get the immediate type of results. And when you are in Maya and you walk around here, you really feel it, because there's not a lot to hide. You're gonna, get mad at the peacocks, or going to kick a rock or something. I mean, there's not a whole lot you can do. You got to go 35, 40 minutes, to the nearest movie theater. there's not a whole lot, Even here, up here, every time I turn the TV on, you can't even see television. Don't have air. You turn the television on, you can't even see. So it's not a whole lot. So it means Krishna just keeps making it available that you got to be Krishna conscious, that you can enjoy this experience of Krishna conscious. So you can enjoy the simplicity of just walking on a farm and seeing the cows and getting happy. So you can enjoy just seeing the devotees. You can enjoy just seeing the deities and be happy that here you are and everything is centered around the deities. If you're not getting that, then you're going to feel anxiety and you won't know what, but what it means is that you want sense gratification. Then you're going to think, I miss my karmic friends, let me go and be with them. I miss sitting down all day long watching TV and eating Fritos and potato chips and soda pop, But, but you've done that, there's no big thing about that. Bali? I'm going to have to stop in a little while. But, let's see, Mr. Sachi, if you can make some prasadam for Maharaj, he can still be able to hear what he takes to. I think 35, 40 minutes, Maharaj, we'll be going. Okay.
I guess one one of my major problems is probably adjusting to working under other instructions or other guidance. Before, most of the work in the comedy world, I was so used to working on my own, like driving cabs on my own or driving an ice cream vendor. I could go at my time and good time. Even when I was driving a crane, tow truck, I still was mostly working on my own schedule. Now it's more like working with my God sisters and God brothers, working with their schedule, and even working with their schedule is still not, it's not organized with me, because I may be pulled from, Sajachar may have service for me out in the field to do this and do that, and then Ekavira may have a service for me at the temple to do this and that. So I'm not, my schedule is not organized, because it don't synchronize with what my God brothers may have for me.
They may have to be a little clear amongst themselves and what work they have to be done and who is using you at what time. Maybe better communications on their part about services that you have.
And then at one time I even said, well, maybe then I even have a false ego, some things that I would like to see get done. Mm-hmm. And
then you smile at them and you just go do what you want to do, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but I get a... Yes, so I sort of just try to work, get more organized. And another one of my faults, I don't report in to find out what is, rather than report in, I'll just wait for them to tell me. Maybe if I report in, it may would boost them up in giving me my schedule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we should all take with this communication on both sides. So they're communicating better amongst them about what they have for you, that you're communicating by checking in more to see, you know, what's expected. So that you're not doing something that maybe someone else is expecting you to do, and then there's a problem. Is that sure?
It's amazing, Sri Krishna Prabhupada, that we're having this kind of discussion, because this book I haven't written in since 1993-94, and there's some guidance that you had given me, and it's very much on target even now as I sit back and reflect on some of the things you were saying then. A lot of it had to do with having a dull consciousness and being lazy. And I was sitting here reflecting on the experiences of, you know, the obstacles that everyone else was having, and they seemed so interrelated. I remember having a discussion with you earlier this week with I and my wife, and I was talking about some of the things that really were starting to burn me out, and that was being able to take the criticism or comments that was outside of our devoted family and within our devoted family, and how so much of that allowed to discourage me. And you pointed out that it's a lack of this weakness in not having, you know, confidence in Krishna, and that, you know, we're able to do these things. I mean, I have a list of things that affect my ability to, you know, be focused and to work well with others. But when I look at them in total, it boils back down to just having a consciousness that's very dull. A lot of times I feel left alone, you know, in terms of cow protection. Sometimes I feel that the community don't take cow protection as all our responsibility, and not just, you know, one person or two people. And sometimes the challenges are very difficult to meet. So oftentimes I may become the workaholic, and in one sense get very impersonal at doing that, because it's where, you know, nobody else sitting, I do the best I can to get it done, but oftentimes it's not the best attitude to take in getting things done. So part of my obstacles is being able to have effective communication, you know, really clear communication, hard communication about, you know, what it is that need to be done, and how we, you know, how I can be assisted, how I can assist others in doing things. I mean, because for me, that I have this tendency to, you know, take it upon myself to do it and just close people out around me. And rather than being a team player, then I'm no longer a team player. You know, I can't see nobody else's service and how those services relate into the services that I'm doing. So I kind of like, you know, kind of like take distance sometimes, which is something I'm trying to really work on and try to be more of a team player in those areas of being assistant to other devotees in their services. So, as I said, you know, hearing all the obstacles of everyone this morning, and just saying that, you know, I'll just reflect how much I can become more of a team player, mm-hmm. and trying to improve the line of communication, and trying to be, you know, more an example, not in the sense of just, you know, standalone spirit, but as you pointed out, how to be encouraging to others and helping them to get to, you know, accomplish the same service or to get other services accomplished. So I guess, you know, it's just, you know, right now, you know, it's accepting the challenge of becoming a better team player and making the project really be a greater preaching program than before.
Mm-hmm. Yes, interesting, this point you mentioned, how these things are interconnected. The achievements as well as the difficulties. And so hopefully we'll keep seeing that. So Chut isn't here, but your wife also, she should reflect on the fact of how she can play a part. And when you sort of phase out and just become the workaholic, kind of tap you and let you know that, you know, you're getting too absorbed in reacting in a way that's good in one sense, but also psychologically, spiritually, unhealthy. Because with the team conception, we may even sometimes have to slow our own focus a little bit as we keep it, but as we try to grab a few others, as we, you know, as we run on also. So sometimes we want to constantly look at what we have to do, but always look at it in regards to the effects on the community, on the environment. If we keep that as a major, you know, barometer, then it becomes easier. Not that it'll slow us down too much, but that it'll help us to get less you know, disturbed or burnt out or fried or disappointed, and it will cause others to feel a little more exhilarated as well. People feel that you don't need them or that you've already written them off, and they'll respond that way. Feel, well, you know, what's the, you know, I'll just do something else. Or let him go ahead and do what he wants to do. But if they feel, and that's the human nature. Human nature, if somebody is thinking that their existence is important and somebody is relating to them in that way, then they respond. You know, they respond accordingly. Mother Bajlil?
I want to thank you for starting out with helping all of us to understand the importance of those personalities that may want to come into the environment and utilize the environment for different programs. I wanted to address a little bit the situation with Bhakti and Christine, that it seems like this was an old email that you may have seen, because when she came here to ask about doing the wedding, we did inform her that she had to involve the community and also cook for all members of the community. And as far as I understood, she agreed to that, and we did make a, in the Isti Gosti, we did let all the devotees know that they were all invited to this wedding. So just to give some clarity, that situation, as far as I understood, was cleared up.
Yeah, I just used it as just a way of just presenting a theme. You know, just before I came out, I was signing the letters, and I saw this email on the clipboard. I used it as a way to try to help us to represent so much more of what we want to be about as a community, and as people approach Gitanagari in different ways, that they'll approach it in that spirit, that there is a teamship of a community going on. There's diversity, there's unity. And there's a certain focus on trying to involve everybody in anything that goes on. Mm-hmm.
Appreciate that very much. The other thing is that before I get to my, I guess I don't really have an obstacle necessarily. I'm really grateful.
That's an obstacle itself.
I mean,
if you think you have no obstacles, you're in big trouble.
I see that my if there is an obstacle, I actually see it as a way for
right,
me to become more Krishna conscious, for me to
nice.
Try to understand that I'm really not that Krishna conscious.
But while they're doing it, if you can help them to see that it's improper, then they can understand a little better what's going on into the space. So when the devotees see them doing like that, you're bringing it to them. Or they see that Ekavir is seemingly not being accountable, or he's not being available when they need some, you know, reciprocation, then that's a good time to bring it up, because it's like with a child. When the child is doing something, sometimes they're not so aware, but while they're doing it, if you can help them to see that it's improper, then they can understand a little better what's going on. Otherwise, it's kind of like a general thing that you chastise the child, you scold the child, you speak on the kid, and the kid is kind of bewildered, you know, like what's going on. But while they're doing it, or as they've done it, then you bring it up, then it also helps so much more. And they can be more sensitive in that way. We have the men's meetings and the women's meetings. That's definitely a good time for discussions of this nature to be able to come out, because that kind of meeting is supposedly to look at things that's necessary to scrutinize so that there can be a greater sense of working together.
Yeah. And as far as whatever little obstacle I may have, I think the devotees are aware that for the last year or so, I've been having a lot of problems with my body. And there are many nights when I really can't sleep because I'm breaking out into like sweats and cold and this and that. And there are times when my body acts, at times it bothers me even more than others. I'm going through one of those periods right now. But in general, the devotees I feel have been very supportive, even those that may not be aware of my bodily situation. I do feel that, I guess if there is an obstacle, I feel that I concentrate on my body more than I ever would if I was more on the front line actively preaching. I think if I was in a more passionate atmosphere, I probably wouldn't concentrate on my body so much. So maybe that's my obstacle.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I have like a whole list, but I was thinking the things that are the hardest for me are I have a real lack of focus and I'm not organized and I tend to take on so many things because I have like enthusiasm to do a lot of things and I enjoy doing them, but then I just like space out on my services and then devotees get really fried with me and I get fried with myself and because of that lack of focus and organization. Also, my sadhana sometimes doesn't, you know, especially when I'm really overwhelmed, it's not as strong as I'd like it to be. And I have my body really gives me a lot of trouble, so that sort of helps to contribute to it. It doesn't help it at all. And then also, the third thing is my lack of sensitivity and straightforwardness. Sometimes the devotees, I have to learn how to say things with tact and how to learn to be compassionate, because I think devotees have said that I'm like arrogant and insensitive. So I really am trying to like cope with that myself, what insecurities I have that are leading to that. So those are three things that are really I struggle with.
Okay, so as you've gone over, there's devotees here, they should try to assist you in those areas. And if you're saying you feel, devotees say that you are spacey sometimes, then want to look closer and think, how can you be able to execute this service, you know, with more clarity? So, okay.
Mm-hmm. My obstacle is similar to Jagannath's about how to maintain my service as I'm working now, and how I can stay still, still stay real focused, you know, at my job, and how I can be more involved with the temple and more involved with the programs, and also how I can use my time management, manage my time more wisely. so I can, you know, do those things.
Okay. Yeah, coming new to the community is something everyone's gonna is figuring out, but even we'll figure out even more, because we do want to be less dependent upon Kali Yugic society. At the same time, there are financial things, commitments that we have. And it's going to be hard for anybody individually to be able to resolve those without some collective effort. It says, the other day, Sada Chai was mentioning, this program we're looking at where we can, you know, get some grants to be able to, you know, distribute, to do the farming and get people to come and volunteer. So if somehow that unfolds, then we can also use our counselors, because we can bring in people from handicap arrangements or halfway houses or whatever, and then one thing can facilitate another. So we're going to have to look at some type of community businesses, some ways where we can do things based on the land, or just like Jeevan Annapurnam are going to be doing, which is really nice. So they're going to set up a care facility. So this way they can do it on the land, get some funds, at the same time still be able, you know, to, you know, to reach people. So we are going to have to be brainstorming a little bit more about some things that we can do where we don't have to necessarily go out so much, but we can do it within the community, within the facility, and be able to still do things that facilitates our principles. So a hospice or a care facility, you know, it's fantastic. And then people coming in, they're coming to us, and we can give them some assistance in some way. At the same time, be able to you know to make some money. Jeeva, I think Annapurna is going to have some kids coming also. She's thinking of taking maybe some retarded children.
Yes, she's thinking of having some people coming and staying with us and that need care. And we're trying to start from zero right now and just get started. But this is the idea, and to take on both devotees and outside people who want to come to spend their last days, or are invalid for some reason, they want to stay here. We're going to try to get some cottages up, and we're working with the sewage commissioner now. So
this kind of theme is powerful. I know even some devotees in Alachua have taken on like maybe two or three orphans or something, and they're living with them. And of course it's helping some soul to get exposure to a Krishna conscious environment. But also it pays very well. These kind of things, they pay quite well. I think they give them $1,000 a month for each child or something, you know. So, you know, even more, right? So these, you know, these are interesting, some interesting things to consider. Mr. Chintamani?
My main obstacle is my consciousness. And I'm seeing more and more how I want the goal without the push and without the work. And still really attracted to wanting ease in spiritual life, and pretty self-absorbed. And in the class this morning, Maharaj was saying how it's really important for us to see through the scriptures and not our eyes. So he helped me to even be more aware how I see through my eyes, see things materially much more than I do scripturally. Which I see as a lot as a lack of faith, because I'm concerned a lot all the time what people think and whether I'm going to be abandoned and all this, when it's really not really having faith in Krishna. So that's kind of like a backdrop. In terms of, I guess, some of the things that I see as challenges in my service, one of the things that I guess I'm gaining more and more insight to is that making the transition from city living, as you were saying, in the institute to living on the dam. And one, I think just the environment here is just very, very purifying. So lots of things have been coming up very intensely, you know, here. And it's, you know, real different, you know, how it's operating, you know, kind of like being in India. So that's been like kind of an adjustment. And the other thing is like being in a preaching center versus a temple. That's like a different lifestyle. And living in a community versus how it was in Maryland when we, you know, lived in our home, like from the temple. And I've been talking to Jagannath about this. And one thing I see, one of the main things that's difficult is that I can hide less here. You know, people ride by and say, oh, you're up late, your lights are on, or, you know, you're home, answer the phone. It's just, and I, you know, kind of have sometimes a tendency to want to hide. So Krishna's really bringing all this stuff up to see. And the other thing is something new that wasn't so much at the institute, and it's a different environment, grahasa life versus pujari life. And in the institute, you know, based on how we were trained up, we were trained to do everything and think, you know, not to think, I'm a grahasta, you know, just to be, you know, to be able to focus on everything. And that same consciousness is here, but practically, there's some areas of emphasis that I need to focus on more. So a lot of things I think I struggle with is, what is my role here? You know, at the institute, you know, Jagannath and I were very, you know, active there, and we, you know, did a lot of things, and it's different, you know. And for example, everyone worked at the institute, and then, you know, you had your jobs, and then, you did your services, and there was a push to try to do everything, you know, well. And here, particularly being a mother, like, none of the mothers really work, you know. So it's kind of like, you know, making that adjustment for myself in terms of, I'm not home with my daughter, and I should be, a lot of, I guess, kind of role things. Then, you know, valuing the services that say I'm doing with Devak is equally as good as someone else's service. I think a lot of internal things. And I think having a big fear of not being grahamiti, and I struggle with that a lot. You know, if we're doing this for our, you know, finances, and I'm doing homework with Devak, and I'm trying to focus on cooking dinner, is that a grahamiti? Because, you know, so kind of like struggling with those. And I'm seeing too, and thank you for this opportunity for us to share this, because this can maybe help devotees understand what I'm struggling with more and give me support. As Devaki grows up and she has different needs, there's more responsibilities that I should have with her, which is different than when she was a baby. So when she was a little baby, you know, you can just put her down and do services, but she's going to school now and she's learning how to read. So it's important for me to see my value in her as a devotee and raise her. But again, I struggle with that. One, I'm poor with time management. And then, you know, is it as valuable for me to... I mean, I know it's valuable, but I guess grappling with, you know, deity service and poor conscious in deity service and not having as much time to do deity service as, like, the institute. So I guess for me, it's kind of grappling with what is my role and how to balance the material and the spiritual, as Jagannath was saying. And in terms of two services that I'm working on, the women's group, one of the concerns I'm having with that is I see now it's really important to have backup plans, so that if one plan doesn't work, being able to have another plan. And since I've been away these past 6 weeks, thank Krishna, Achyuta really took on the service of, like, taking it over. And she's been working a lot with that. And we had some canon classes planned in August. She and I were trying to work on that before I left, but then the teacher couldn't do it. And so there wasn't, like, a backup plan. So having that, and, you know, wanting more feedback from the mothers on what I can do better with that. And then lastly, with the social welfare, there's more that I need to be doing with that, just in terms of I'm supposed to be working on some screening procedures for new people who want to move here. And the other thing I guess I'm really grappling with is, and that service, as you mentioned in a morning class, my role should be that if someone is sick or someone, you know, needs that, I should be there to assist them. And because, you know, he and I are kind of grappling with a lot of things with balancing the material and the spiritual, I have fears about, let's say, putting a sign up and saying, I'm available, if you're sick, call me. Because lots of times we're struggling with how to, you know, pay our bills and I'm traveling, and I don't want to put that out and then not follow up on it. So I don't know if perhaps I could speak with the devotees and maybe have a partner and we can work on it together, because I really want to be available for the devotees, but I don't want to make commitments, and it's even worse to make commitments and not follow up on it. So those are some of the things that I'm working through.
Giant and Dana.
I guess one of my main obstacles is to actively seek out, like, service, and I'm the Association of Devotees since I'm not living on the farm, and also I'm working right now, so like, I need to, whenever I'm not working and whenever I have free time, is to look for service and to do whatever I can do to help out.
Yeah, keep the job going so you can help your parents and being able to develop that nice project. But then, like, on weekends or something, if you're not working, then, you know, find some time. Or let Akabira know the times that you're available and then come and help out. You're the youngest, so you have more youth than hopefully any of us. And so you have to use that youth in different ways right now. Because age will come on you very fast.
I have a lot of difficulties now, but the three main ones, which are interrelated, are Mother Raja Leela and I were talking about this yesterday, is I have a problem controlling my anger, so I need to work on that. And I miss my husband very much so that's really difficult because I'm meditating so much on missing my husband and not so much on Krishna. And I also, before I moved here, most of my association, like 98% of my association was with my husband, and the other 2% was with Ligima City and Kulpa Vriksha. So I didn't have much, my husband and I, our communication wasn't always so great, but it's just me and him, so there wasn't a lot of confusion as far as that. But now it's, I have a problem with revealing my mind in confidence to devotees, because I think I'm revealing my mind in confidence, and then it ends up, what I said gets to another devotee before I have a time to kind of digest my own thoughts before I decide how to deal with that situation. And then I end up dealing with a lot of having to straighten out, oh, well, no, this person said that. Well, wait, did this person say that? And so before I can even get my meaning across, sometimes I have to clear up what's already out there. So that's difficult too. But my main difficulty is just that I think about my husband too much. And it drives me nuts. So that's that.
That's good. Think about him. We don't want you to think about another husband. Think about that husband. So you guys, what plans? Is he coming here? Are you going where he is? Or
I don't know.
You have to work that out?
But mm-hmm. He's supposed to come here.
Okay. And try to control your anger, because you can become like a fire engine. And we don't have fire extinguishers to put the fire out of your stuff. But, you know, there's so many things that we all have, as you're saying, just different devotees talk. So that's why we are trying to have a family, so we can be able to help each other. I'll just see Jeeva before something.
Well, my difficulty is aging body rapidly. And
I'm beginning to understand what that means.
I very definitely understand.
Body is beginning to understand.
Yeah, less and less practically on the weekly basis. It's also a lack of Krishna consciousness and struggling, but it's very definitely plays a part in it. I get drawn away very much by my body, and with some medications I have an I don't give a darn attitude, you know. And so I think I know what's going on, you know.
Let us help you from time, because you also help us, because you help us to see how to deal with, you know, body and difficulty, and let's see how devotees can help you in some ways. Or, you know, you have a lot of wisdom about so many things, and so sometimes devotees need to be able to call on you to find out, get some, you know, some vision about, you know, how to proceed, you know, with some of the agricultural work. Yeah. Elders are very important. I was just thinking the other day when Mukunama was just here, take him up, you know, where the shed was, you know, where you used to have the oxen go around. So he says, who built this? And I said, I don't know, Ajiva and somebody else did. He said, oh, Ajiva was around, he was that long ago. I said, yeah. I guess that was, what, 16, 18 years ago or something?
1980, I think.
Amazing. 17 years ago. Yeah, it's amazing. Okay. Say, Sachi? We're getting ready to end. You need to have the microphone. You're in there hiding. I know you're trying to take care of Maharaj. Okay. Ah, you built that as well. Wow. So many skilled devotees here. What obstacles you have? You want to go back to Detroit? You miss the deities? You miss David Sadan? You miss your brother, you miss your mother?
Basically, yeah, that is a lot that's happening with me. I am going through some serious withdrawals from the city, you know, and I went there and I was hoping, oh, you know, I'll go and it'll satisfy my desire, but I think it made it worse. And so, you know, coming home, I was glad to come home, though. I miss my husband, I miss the deities here, and I definitely have some problems with communication. You know, I tend to withdraw when things are in my life. I just back off, and so that's a big problem for me. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah, just try to. We're a little weak. We have to kind of put a little more energy on that, a little more attention than we normally would. For many of us, it's a difficulty, and speaking up and sharing. Because usually we're afraid that if we say something, people may not understand us, they may not like us, they may use it against us. But if we can feel more that the devotees around us really care, and by bringing things up, we realize that it's also purifying. See, Bhaktivinoda explains, when things are brought up in the congregation and devotees, that strength comes from that. Realization comes, and also strength. And then it helps us to realize, too, that we're not, you know, we're not alone. Any problem is worse. We're feeling that I got this problem, everybody else is okay, but I got the problem, and I'm the most unfortunate devotee, I'm not a serious devotee. But when you begin to realize that some of the same problems we have, others are having or have had, and almost every one of us have went through that kind of withdrawal situation by, you know, being living in the city so much, and then all of a sudden coming to the country. I mentioned, well, you were gone, but I mentioned in one discussion, devotees were having that when they first went to India. They'd never really been so much in third world countries or in the rural areas. In the first 2 years when devotees would go to India, it was like so shocking. After a couple of days, devotees would be thinking about sour cream and ice cream and, you know, just little things that they were getting in America, and all of a sudden it wasn't available, and they'd be freaking out, you know. What do you think about going 2 or 3 hours to go someplace to get some sour cream or some ice cream? You know, I mean, it was just amazing, you know. And then some of the boys would be arguing with each other, and they didn't know why. But they, you know, this like they had nothing to do, you know. This chant Hare Krishna and hear lectures all day long. And then after the, you know, second, third year, then we saw, you know, a big shift. I mean, the first 2 years, it was like so difficult. Some of the devotees came, and after a couple of days, they wanted to go back. They just spent almost, you know, $1,400, $1,000 for a ticket, and they're ready to go back, you know. Especially some of the Sankirtan devotees who always used to being active. After 3 or 4 days, they were ready to climb the walls. They didn't know how to kind of engage themselves without moving around and being instructed and whatnot. And so it's a withdrawal thing. I mean, if you talk to devotees, you'll find that the first couple of months, every devotee is thinking, I don't know if I want to stay here, you know. Start feeling lonely, start feeling sad, you know, just thinking, what am I doing here? There's mountains. And then one day you look and you say, how beautiful, just trees and mountains and peacocks and woods and cows and the moon coming and sun coming, how wonderful. And then when you go into the city and you think, oh my God, all this noise and pollution and people looking hard-faced and well, I don't see any grass, you know. I don't hear the cows mooing. I don't see the peak, you know. It all begins to change. And most of them now, when they go into the cities, they get a headache, you know. When it's a little trip to Lewistown and Mifflintown, it's a little different. But you go into New York, you go into Washington, you go to Detroit, after a while when you go there, you're going to feel, let me get back home. So we're all going through that. It's not unusual. You'll see. And because you've been younger, it's a little more intense. You know, you ask Mangal Arctic and a few others, they'll tell you how they're going through that. Huh? Okay. I know. When you first came, you loved it?
But here.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant in India.
Oh, no, I meant here. Yeah. Yeah.
For the first, like, 5 months, I kept thinking like that. Or maybe, Gumar said 6 months. So I had 4 weeks left, 3 weeks left, and then 6 months came, nothing happened. Then 1 year came and nothing happened, and I was like, yeah, I'll stay here for
just I understand you. 5-10 minutes and more
time. I think for me it's more of a difficulty. I don't know if it's an obstacle or what, but I think lately I've been trying to overcome this mentality, thinking because doing the DD schedule, mm-hmm. and I think I've been pushing myself a little too much. Like if someone can't do it, And rather than me asking another devotee, you know, people can, I just jump in, but I push my body because I'm not getting, I haven't been getting much sleep lately at nights because of the active child and kicking, I just can't sleep nowadays at night. So I try to take a nap during the day, but it's, then the phone starts ringing, you know, I can't do my noon offering, something that I have to jump on kind of a thing. So I'm trying to, to learn, you know, to depend on devotees rather than me jump in, because it's not like I can always jump in when, you know, whatever. And then, and also I have been ignoring my body in terms of my health, in terms of the herbs that I need to take in the past 5 months. I just started going back in like 3 days ago, and I'm trying to keep up with it. And Achyuta is like getting on my case, Prabhu, take this, and I haven't been done anything that she's been telling me to do. I've been totally ignoring it. And also, I think my difficulty is in terms of the deity services, in terms of the scheduling, that is whenever there is a function coming up.
Just tell Sachi that she should bring up for Maharaj, because we have to leave in about 2 minutes' time. It's okay? Oh, you'll take it with you? Oh, okay, okay, it's no problem. I'm sorry.
In terms of the deity scheduling, whenever it comes to functions and festivals and retreats, and that's when, you know, many devotees can't do the services, and then they like I get 5 call-ups in one day. And in fact, the only one that I must say that has been very, very helpful is none other than Parameshwara. She has been a sweetheart, a blessing, a darling to me since the scheduling. She jumps in when I need help, she jumps out, she's always there for me. She's so sweet. Her heart is so sweet. And so I'm trying to approach devotees in some way, you know, Prabhu, if you know that something's coming up, you know, let me know in advance rather than time, because it's hard for me to cover services in one day, and me being pregnant 5 months, I don't know how much longer I can do it. And then I'm thinking, who else can actually do the service in 4 months? And someone that can jump in right away. Someone that can, you know, show up when there's a call off and stuff like that. And also, lately I've been feeling a little lonely, I think. I guess being pregnant, I think I was thinking more about my mom lately.
Sure.
And I miss her her love, pampering, stuff like that. And
because your husband's working now, he's not around as much.
Also. Yeah, and he's gone like 12 hours a day, whatever. And I guess Krishna kind of heard my cry, because I thought that if the child comes, then I can go and see my family. But I was thinking, oh, there's 6 months, there's 5 months, there's 4 months more, then I'll see my family, because I know they were getting old, and I don't know how long, you know. I'm like, well, what if they die and I don't see them? And Krishna's mercy, somehow, I guess, you know, I got a call from Mother Lalita, from Lathan, and she's bringing my mom up this afternoon with my sister. My dad couldn't make it. He had to go for a church meeting. So, and I'm happy at the same time, but also I have mixed feelings, you know. What are they going to expect of me, seeing me in this new life, that kind of a thing. And so I'm trying to surrender to Krishna and see whatever comes out of it, just take it as it is, kind of a thing.
And the body should hit it also, because as you become even more pregnant, then of course you'll be less able to do some of those services. So that should be a call to the community to be able to see how to complement or to compensate, in a sense. Two of you, and then we have to stop. Give the Gandiva first. Gandiva, I think we're going to run out of time. Huh? We still got 5 minutes more. So if you have no obstacles, that's okay. Then anyone have any problems, just see Gandiva. Any services, just see Gandiva. It's awesome.
Well, I have a lot of obstacle. My job that I'm doing now is taking a lot of my energy and time, and all I have time to is chant my rounds, and that's about it.
So try to see how you can still. I mean, everyone likes your cooking, so don't completely give it up. See how you can still be able to do.
Yeah. But at my job, I always work on myself, so I can kind of keep Krishna conscious by my own.
You don't have to be interacting with so many people so much.
Yeah, I don't. I try to not associate with karmis too much. So.
That's good. Yeah, keep some steadiness for you. I think you were doing Sundays or Saturdays you were cooking?
Saturday and Sunday. Okay. But now I think I'm doing only Sundays.
Only Sundays, okay. But every Sunday you're doing? Or every
almost.
Other Sunday? Almost every Sunday?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
You done every Sunday? Okay. That's good.
I'm looking back, so I love you too.
Friction.
Okay. Right now, I haven't started a new job. It's a matter of being able to balance the home life, devotee life, job life, the responsibilities. I don't see it as an obstacle as it is a challenge. I believe that Krishna can, the Guru and Krishna can help me make that possible. And there's no way out, so it has to be done and all done properly. So everything about me now is being looked at more critically. And the school is also looking at me rather critically. Because, you know, they hired you, they're paying you, they want to see if they made a good decision. So that's going on. But so far it's been positive, so. Mm-hmm. More positive than negative. A few students are bored with me because what I'm teaching now is stuff that they know, but it's introductory, and then they get into the heart of it. I told them it's coming. So it's not bad in that situation. I think here on the farm especially, I need to find ways of speaking out more because I think I can share more than I am, especially about being a little more organized. I even thought of writing everything that I knew to make this place function and giving it to you, and you do whatever you want with it, literally. I still feel that I have so much that I have learned that I can offer, and that's not come out yet. And because of that, Krishna's making that really, really kill me. I'm really suffering mentally because of that.
If you really want to show us, you show us.
I have to do. Not just speak, but also do. I understand that. And then,
we'll be forced to take notice.
I was thinking about that I have to be. Maybe the best thing to do is be a good example myself. But there is still more to actually say than do. Because you're talking about the whole farm. Certainly I can't do everything. So that's basically it.
It's good. These discussions are healthy. Now what we should do, I have to leave in 2 minutes, is... Each of you who brought up various things, you know, take some serious thought today, especially today, and but later as well, and thinking of ways how you can try to work on those areas where you're feeling there's some obstacles, some weakness, some fears. A couple of audience who didn't hear it, the tape, the class, and wasn't here, they should be able to hear the tape. And as you first look at your own situation, then look and remember, refresh yourself, what you heard others bring up, so that as you work on what you're doing, then it also assists, you know, in the environment, in the community. We didn't just do all this just for therapy, so everybody just put their stuff on the table, but the idea is to bring this out for, it's a prayer to Guru, it's a prayer to Krishna, it's a prayer to the Assembly of the Vaishnavas, and it's an expression of humility also. Not so easy to talk about things that's really bothering you, you know, in a public assembly, you know. People usually like to keep that stuff to themselves and show a good face. So it's a difficult thing. But by doing it, it brings some strength, realization, and it brings some ability to conquer over also, whatever those obstacles are. See, obstacles are almost like demons. It's like when somebody's possessed. I mentioned in the Spiritual Warrior book, one way of an aspect of dealing with the possession is recognizing it. Like sometimes a disease is there. One of the most difficult things is being able to diagnose it. Once you can finally diagnose it, then you can gradually get some ways, in many cases, how to deal with it. If you can't diagnose it, then it's just going to go on and on and on. So by presenting the obstacle that we have to deal with, it's like an exposure, a diagnosis. So a serious step is made, and the next step is trying to deal with it. So we should see things that affect us directly, by somebody else's problem or difficulty. Let me see some ways how we could do something that could definitely make a difference. And then some things that were said, we can take it and look at ourselves and see how we have that same problem. Or we can think about how maybe somebody else is dealing with it and how we can deal with it also, in a sense. So this is not easy work, and it's definitely something that nobody's going to be able to do by themselves. Anybody think that they're going to be able to somehow be very strong in their Krishna consciousness, just on their own, keeping things to themselves, it's going to fall down after a while, get discouraged, and then we're going to see you, you know, packing your bags, leaving, going some other place or something. But if you are constantly in the spirit of trying to communicate, then even though you may be wrong about a perception, you may be right, but if you're constantly trying to communicate for the benefit of the service, then always something good will come out of it. The most difficult thing is when there's not sufficient communication. Then there's speculation, and then there's conjecture and miscuing, and a lot of waste of energy, a lot of frustration. So I'm purposely coming back. I'm going to Baltimore now to see a dentist. Then I'm coming back, and later I'm going to be seeing a doctor about trying to get some diagnosis, what's going on in my body. But the main reason I'm here is because I want to get you all more focused. Because, you know, now I have a little more time to be available, to be around. And although I'm still doing so much other stuff, but I'm just going to be around to try to see that we can create this positive force field. Now I'm going to end with this thing here. I brought up before, but functioning in the spirit that Prabhupada is coming, so we want to be ready. Prabhupada was coming, you know, we see the yard is not clean, we want to finish building this thing, we want to see that the deities are dressed nicely, we want to see the prasadam is good, we want to paint the building, do so many things. So when we're saying Prabhupada is coming, and he was on his way here to set up Varnashram Dharma, on his way up here to set up simplicity, he's on his way up here to be able to glorify. See, if you look at some of the writings, you see Prabhupada was always talking about, you know, Gita Nagari. You know, he was all over the world. He was in Europe. He was in India. He's always talking about Gita Nagari. They're growing their own food, you know. They're taking care of the cows. They're making their clothes. They're becoming self-sufficient. He was such pride. So now we've had, you know, some little setback, some years. But now we want to be in the mood, okay, we had setback, but now we're trying to revitalize. Prabhupada is coming. So just as we asked you in the last meeting, we want you to start reading 1 hour a day. Somehow everybody find a way to read 1 hour a day. Now, and it may seem artificial, but again, we're talking about war and potency. And you'll understand it a little bit more later, that we want you to get more now in the habit and actively, and I'm going to help you with it, to remind each other that Prabhupada is coming. When, you know, you see each other sometimes, just Prabhupada is coming. See somebody going through some mode, some shift, Prabhupada is coming. So that is just a buzzword all over the environment that Prabhupada is coming. Prabhu, we have to finish this, Prabhupada is coming. Prabhu, you know, we have to get ready, Prabhupada is coming. Prabhu, we finish dressing the deities. Curtain's going to open up, Prabhupada is coming. Prabhupada is going to come. He's going to have darshan with the deities. Prabhu, you know, we're almost 10 minutes late for making the offering. Prabhu, Prabhupada is coming. Prabhu, you have to wake the deities up in the morning, you know. Prabhupada is coming. You know, we just get in that consciousness. So that is a buzzword. So people come around and think we're crazy. That we got a special language. Prabhupada is coming. Huh? And they'll come and they'll just get picked right up, you know, by the Spirit. And we'll, you know, clear a lot of our consciousness. It's very powerful that Prabhupada is coming. And so we have to get our health together better. We have to get out of projects. We have to move a little faster on what we're doing. We have to get, you know, the greenhouse together. We have to get the temple finished. We have to build, you know, finish building the temple. We have to, you know, keep the yards clean, because Prabhupada is coming. So just make it a buzzword, you know. As you're greeting each other, as you're seeing each other, as you're doing your services, just make it a buzzword. You know, we're gonna buzz that we actually read once an hour a day, and to be in this Prabhupada consciousness about what we're doing. And you're going to see, almost like mystically, how more things are just going to start coming together, start getting formed, you see. So we're trying to help you to see how to counteract the demons. There's so much demonic stuff that's going on that you're not aware of. There's so much challenge and so much chance for growth. And there are ways how we can grow more. And we grow more as we take more shelter. We grow more as we are able to focus the mindset. It becomes a weapon. It becomes very, very powerful. It becomes very exhilarating. And then some things that would be problems are not problems, become stepping stones, and some things that are available become more accessible because we are summoning it in that sense. So we have very special arrangement that this is where Prabhupada was coming to do some last work. And now, as we are trying to function as a community, with so many obstacles there, as we all just brought up, but because that's there, and they're realities, but we're seeing how to minimize it. The most important, we're going to see how to get around it because Srila Prabhupada is coming. His confounded Todd, his divine grace, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai. C.C. Radha Damodar ki.
Jai. His Holiness Srila Krishna Bhakti, jai.
So I have to rush to the dentist and rush back because Prabhupada is coming.